Who's ever heard of a melodrama? Raise your hand. You ever been in a melodrama? Seen a melodrama? Like melodramas? Who doesn't like melodramas at all? Just a few hands go up just to be smart, right?
Okay. A couple of weeks ago at the church picnic, or was it last week? Was last week the church picnic? No, 2 weeks ago. Josh did his interpretation of a melodrama. Do you remember the puppet doing You Must Pay the Rent with a stick like that? Melodramas, usually, unlike Josh's version, have music to heighten the tension or the mood or to describe a character. Even that name, melodrama, that's melody and drama put together. There's a more deeper explanation in Latin or something like that that puts those words in Greek, that puts those words together. But melody and drama. And for the most part, the melodrama has a set plot line. There's a villain who threatens someone, and there's a hero who defeats the villain. And then there's some other people who sometimes are involved, sometimes aren't. Like that 1960s TV show, your favorite and mine, Batman. Remember Batman? Always had a melodramatic element to it. Even the music there, too, and the fight scenes and everything. And there was always, you know, Batman was, or Bruce Wayne or someone was holding on to something and he was about to be sawn in half or whatever it was. And then there was, you know, wait till next week or wait till tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. That was a melodrama on 1960s TV. And then nowadays, though it's not as overly dramatic, a TV show like CSI has that melodramatic formula too. You have the heroes. Now, justice isn't exactly done in terms of a hero getting rescued. Usually it's finding out who did the murder or who did the crime, but music heightens the tension and kind of describes the characters too. Of course, I think the most fun melodramas came from Rocky and Bullwinkle with Boris and Natasha. Not the movie, but the cartoons from the 60s. Raise your hand if you remember Boris and Natasha. Always great. Great melodramatic elements there. And so wouldn't it be interesting, and I wonder what it would sound like, if we took the parable of the wedding banquet and we turned it into a melodrama, or at least we presented it in a melodramatic style. So it's time, everyone, for what I would like to call a spontaneous melodrama. I did not make up that term, someone else did, but we're doing it nonetheless. It won't follow all the melodrama rules, but we certainly are going to try it. And for our spontaneous melodrama, we will need music. And I just happen to have some spontaneously recorded this week music on the CD player that we'll use. Very spontaneous, right? We'll also need someone to do the voice of our hero. Does a volunteer to do the voice of our hero? Our hero is Jesus. Matthew, you want to be the voice of our hero? Come on up here. Let's give Matthew a big hand. And we also need someone to be our narrator, our announcer. We need an announcer. Okay, Joe. Father-in-law Joe, come on up. Now what happens here, Matthew, you're going to have to grab a script and read it over at the part that says Jesus, and grab a microphone. Joe, you get to stand up here.
All right.
And this is your script. I made it nice and big.
Good.
For you there. Come on up right here. Okay. Just a little bit before we start there, you can look over the scripts and everything.
Good.
To get that, see where you're going to go, and there's music cues and everything that I will provide for you. But a little bit of background, at least, on the scripture reading, you know, some Greek lesson before we have too much fun. Luke 14:1 says that Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees, or a leader of the Pharisees, to eat a meal. And leader of the Pharisees, the part that's translated there, comes from the Greek word archon, like arch, you know, like the arch enemy in the melodramas. So he's like the arch Pharisee. So whenever we have the arch Pharisee, we will have melodramatic music that's kind of negative going on there. And whenever we have Jesus, it's sort of heroic music. And then part two, first of all, arch Pharisee, that's what inspired doing this melodrama anyway, because you think of arch Pharisee, you think of arch enemy or arch nemesis. So just, that's what happened. If you want to know the process, then why are we doing this part here? Now part two, the word translated as guests in Luke 14:7. That's a Greek word called kaleo. Everyone say kaleo. I know it sounds like a drink that you were having last night, but kaleo is a Greek word, and it's more than just guests. It's like chosen ones, invited ones, those who are elected to be there. So they were important people. So kaleo is the chosen ones. All right? Here we go. Come on up here.
I'm going to play the music back over here. And these two have never rehearsed.
Do you know each other?
Never. Never met each other? Okay, Matthew, stand up for folks who are there. All right, well, I better get a script too so I know when to hit the button.
No. I've got one.
Okay. Here we go.
Let me know when you're ready.
You'll know because the music will start.
No, I should start.
No, it says fade up your own beginning type music. So that's me.
It is
so
you.
Here we go.
There was once a time when our hero, Jesus, went to the home of the arch-Pharisee for a meal on the Sabbath. The arch-Pharisee and the others were watching Jesus closely just to see what kind of mistake he might make. Everyone seemed to be pushing and shoving and clawing their way to be closest to the most important of these chosen ones. When our hero, Jesus, noticed all the competition, he started to tell a story.
If you go to a wedding reception, be careful not to sit in the best seat. It's possible you'll have to move for someone more important than you, and then you'll have to sit right by the kitchen. Instead, serve the table by the kitchen, and let the host invite you to sit at a better table. You see, if you try to make yourself look important, you'll look unimportant. But remember, to be humble, you'll earn respect.
Then Jesus looked at the host of the meal and offered this advice.
The next time you host a meal, don't invite all your friends and all the unimportant and all the important people. Instead, invite the people with no money, the people who can't stand up without help, the people who can't walk at all, the people who can't see. Invite the people who work hard, but still don't seem to ever have enough to live. Invite the people you just soon ignore. Invite the people who everyone thinks is unimportant.
Don't let this story end. It's time to send out the invitations.
That'd be it. You can keep your script if you want it. I'll sign it later for you. No. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much for that part. Send out the invitations. The question is, send them out to who? Who's on first? I don't know. I just said that out loud and you just repeated it after me. And I know that I should have said, send them out to whom, right? But that wouldn't have worked with the who's on first joke. So I did send them out to who? Send out the invitations. Send them out to people with big and small houses. Send them out to people with no houses. Send them out to the poor and to the rich. Send them out to the young and to the... Send them out to Democrats and... Send them out to the right and... Send them out to the sad and... Send them out to believers and... Send them out to every person in every group, especially the ones you think... Well, no, not them, of course. Think of them right now. Yes, send them out to the people in that group. Send them out to everyone. I wonder, is that what the Bible reading teaches today, though? Doesn't it say at the end, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind? It doesn't say invite those who are rich and those who can run and those who have every ability and those who can see. But the Bible absolutely does say invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. But the intent of this parable isn't to exclude people, even if they have too much. The intention of this parable is to teach about humility and to teach about hospitality. Just like I said in the children's sermon, don't think so highly of yourselves that you think you're better than others are. Everyone say that. Don't think so highly of yourselves that you think you're better than others are. And don't show hospitality to others just to get something back. Let's try that one. Don't show hospitality to others just to get something back. Now, I've got those in a negative format. And a lot of times it's better if you put things in a positive format. So how do you take don't think so highly of yourselves that you think you're better than others are and say, think of yourselves as no better than anyone else. Try that. Think of yourselves as no better than anyone else. And don't show hospitality to others just to get something back. Show hospitality because it's the right thing to do. How about that? Show hospitality because it's the right thing to do. Or show hospitality because that's what Jesus teaches. Try that. Show hospitality because that's what Jesus teaches. God's hospitality, God's extravagant welcome isn't about getting something back. It's about offering God's unconditional love to everyone. It's about showing this radical invitation, extravagant welcome to who? To whom? Everyone. This parable from today can teach us and it can challenge us to continually reach out to everyone we meet with love. It can teach us and it can challenge us to take a bold step. Now here's an easy bold step, I think. And invite a friend to church. Can you take an easy and a bold step and invite a friend to church? And I know the parable isn't just about inviting people to church. It is about a welcome and it's about hospitality. It's not about not trying to get something back, but just a little step. This parable can teach us and challenge us to take a small but bold step and invite a friend to church. So, wrapping things up very quickly. Well, that was a short sermon today. What's the challenge for this week? What do you think it is? Invite people. What's the title of the sermon? Okay, so what's the challenge for this week? All right, let's try it. Send them out to people with big and small houses, with no houses, the poor and the rich, the young and the old, the Democrat, the Republican, the right and the left, the sad and the happy, believers and non-believers. Every person in every group, especially the ones you think, well, no, not them. Send them out to everyone. The challenge for this week is... One more time, as loud as you possibly can. The invitation or the challenge for this week is... Let's pray. God, thank you for your extravagant welcome. Thank you for your unconditional love. Help us to reach out to one another. Help us to reach out to people all over with that invitation, with that love. Help us to send out the invitations. In Jesus' name, amen.